Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to this day of worship and celebration of our God's love in our sanctuary here at Ripley Presbyterian Church. We also welcome those of you joining us virtually, wherever your sacred space is this day. We are gathered in the name of our Lord, and we celebrate God's grace as we worship together. Before we begin our worship time, let's share just a few minutes of announcements, any prayer concerns or joys that we want to lift up together with one another and for one another. Our announcements you'll see inserted in your bulletin today, elder nomination blanks for the upcoming class of elders, and we are sad that we're going to be losing some great elders, Norris Howe, Kenny Hill, and Ann Wigington. Oh, we're going to keep Ann. Well, great. Thank you.
We've got to replace Steve.
Got you. Got to replace Steve. Sorry, Ann. Goodness gracious. We're going to make you a permanent elder instead of leave early. But yes, we do have the, I knew there were three. We've got the unexpired term of Steve Willie, and then we'll be nominating two elders for a three-year term, replacing Kenny Hill and Norris Howell. So we ask you to give prayerful consideration to those nominees to serve our congregation. Also, you'll see mission updates. We're giving and being the church in many different ways. The Cross of the Christ campaign that's serving our entire community. Those funds have reached $650. Our mission emphasis this week is the pastor's discretionary funds that we provide assistance through Tippa Electric and Power to people in need at the most vulnerable times in their life, especially during the winter time. So that is our mission emphasis as a church. As you all know, and some of you may who may be joining us for the first time, these are offerings and gifts that we serve our community with through mission giving above and beyond our regular tithes and offerings. So thank you for being a part of Christ's light in our community.
Last month was Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, and you know, and we had the hurricane to hit, and we had additional contributions come in the month of September, and we were able to write a check to the Presbyterian Disaster Assistance Fund for Mississippi for $1,070.
Wow, wonderful.
So thank you.
Yes, terrific. I don't know if you all heard that, but we exceeded $1,000 in giving for the PDA, Presbyterian Disaster Assistance, which provided extra resources for the hurricane victims, and probably I think some of those funds went to Waverly as well, Waverly, Tennessee. But thank you, Lynn, for dispersing those on our behalf to people most in need at one of the most darkest times in their lives. So we're grateful to be part of that light. Terrific. Okay. Excuse me. I'm still battling some allergies, and they are just allergies. Monty and I were tested recently to make sure that we were, but some of you may be struggling with these this time of year as well. Are there other announcements you'd like to share today before we lift up together joys and concerns as a worship community? Okay, we do want to add to our prayer list Judy Austin and her family at the loss of Judy's mother. I'm sorry we don't have Judy's mom's name. Judy and I have been corresponding through text message. I tried to reach her by phone, but she said I was just overwhelmed with the phone, wasn't talking the other day, understand that, but she's grateful. She will not be able to travel to the service because the COVID numbers are real intense, Judy said there, and she and Calvin trying to remain as safe as possible during these times. But let's be prayerful for Judy. We love you, darling. I know you're probably watching. If not right now, you will soon, and lift up that family. I know many of you, several of you, reached out already to express your affection and support and love to Judy and her family. We want to continue to remember our precious soul, Shirley Huddleston, who's still having some significant pain from nerve damage or nerve problems, and she's certainly with her medication. It keeps her very drowsy and sleepy, and we're praying for some comfort and deliverance for Shirley. I know she and Doc Elliott are trying to get to the bottom of this, so we love you, Shirley. We're thinking of you as well in your absence today. Are there other additions to our prayer list today that we want to share? Oh, great. Thank you, Judy. Yes, Betty Murray. So we'll be prayerful for Betty's family and everybody who loved Betty. So hugs and prayers for you, Judy. Isn't this something, technology age? Jennifer's texting with Judy even as we worship together. So virtual worship is not going away. Look at that beautiful baby back there. Isn't she an angel? Good to see you all. Friends, this is the day our Lord has made. What a joy it is to gather in God's presence with God's people. Let us worship the Lord. Amen. I think we can just go home now. We've been to worship. If you continue to post any prayer concerns virtually there, we'll lift those up in the prayers of the people. I also want to be prayerful for my mom. She's got to have a procedure done this week. to assist with some pain. She's having significant pain in her back. So let's be prayerful for her dad and our family as well. And we'll be remembering all these concerns and joys during the prayers of the people. So let us now listen together for and share together in our call to worship from Psalm 1. Happy are those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners trod, or sit in the seat of scoffers. But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on his law they meditate day and night. They are like trees planted by streams of water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither, and all they do, they prosper. Friends, would you join me now as we respond to that call to worship by considering our sinfulness and need for a Savior? Let us together pray a prayer of confession. Dear Heavenly Father, we lower our heads before you, and we confess that we have too often forgotten that we are yours. Sometimes we carry on our lives as if there was no God, and we fall short of being a credible witness to you. For these things we ask your forgiveness, and we also ask for your strength. Give us clear minds and open hearts so we may witness to you in our world. Remind us to be who you would have us to be, regardless of what we are doing or who we are with. Hold us to you and build our relationship with you and those you've given us on earth. Amen. From Romans 5, let's share together in this declaration of forgiveness. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we boast in the hope of sharing the glory of God. Friends, believe the good news of the gospel. In Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Thanks be to God.
This morning's first reading comes from the book of James, chapter 3. If you'd like to follow along, you can turn to page 230 in your pew Bibles, and we'll continue through selected verses of chapter 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. This is the word of the Lord.
We are a praying church that invokes prayer throughout our worship. Let's once again turn our reflection and our petitions to God in prayer. Oh God, we bow in your presence, aware that we are a people in need of your grace. We seek, oh Lord, to live our lives in ways pleasing to you, to serve you, and offer up your glory to the world around us. But even our efforts, O Lord, to walk in your ways fall short without your grace to guide us. So we search your scriptures, we meditate through study and through prayer to be molded and made more in your image, O Lord. But even that pursuit, O God, we stand in the need of grace. So we ask you to help us to hear, to speak to our hearts and minds as your church, as your people in need, as we reflect upon these readings of Holy Scripture. That in hearing, O God, in receiving, we may be more well equipped and inspired to serve in your name, with your love, and for your glory. So come, O Holy Spirit, mold us and make us more in your image. In Christ we pray and ask. Amen. The second lesson of our scripture today is from the Gospel of Mark. We'll share the reading from chapter 9, beginning with verse 30 and continuing through verse 37. Would you listen with me for the word of the Lord? They went on from there and passed through Galilee. Jesus did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples and saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of humans, and they will kill him, and 3 days after being killed he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another who was the greatest. He sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them. Taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me. And whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." Friends, this is the word of the Lord. Well, for those of you who may have missed last week's sermon, or perhaps even need a little refresher on it, I'm going to back up. Sometimes I have to remember what I preached the week before, or an hour before if things are really bad, price. But last week we focused on a bit, if you'll remember, the tongue that James spoke to us as followers of Christ to guard against, the power of the tongue to control our whole body. We reflected upon how a ship, the large vessels that patrol the waters and surge the seas, are controlled by a very small member of its entire vessel. And as we think about that ship we focused on last week, those attributes of our faith that were an acronym of SHIP, of servanthood, humility, integrity, and prayer. So we looked at broad examples of our faith, those essential tenets that Jesus embodied in his earthly ministry and calls us to serve the world with through those gifts for God's glory. But today, what I'd like for us to do is drill down a little deeper on that first aspect of that SHIP acronym of the servanthood. The call, as our sermon title today, emphasized the nature of our Lord who was a servant to all. So as we consider this great gift that the church has to offer to the world as an example of what Christ offered to us, let us reflect together and search with our hearts and minds, how do we more fully serve those around us for God's glory? You know, I think about a story I saw recently about in the country of Italy, the Italian State Police, they're called the Italian State Police, have in some patrol regions Lamborghinis. How about that? Lamborghinis and those things, I think they'll go nearly 200 miles an hour. And you know, I don't know about y'all, but everybody I know who's got a Lamborghini, they have it for their own ego, you know? It's all about them. It's all about me. It's all about my. Every person I know who's got a Lamborghini, that's how they are. Well, of course, I don't know anybody who's got a Lamborghini. So everybody I know who's got a Lamborghini is also nice and caring and loving, Jen. But traditionally, such a car like that, it seems like it would be molded more to serve the self. But what's really neat, the Italian State Police have transformed that instrument to serve others. You see, I heard the story where once that there was a person in need of a kidney transplant, and many of us who are somewhat familiar with those transplants, you only have hours, sometimes minutes, to act when a person is in need of that transplant. They were in a position where they couldn't fly the kidney, so they drove this kidney, some 300 miles, what would normally take 6 hours on a less than straight road. They did it in 2 hours with their Lamborghini. So not only do they work on traffic tickets and those type things, they serve the greater good, and I guess in this specific instance, even gave life. You know, when we think of that story, I'm certainly aware of how our Lord came into this world, a world filled with even greater egos than those who may want to drive a fancy race car, a world that oftentimes seeks to serve self. And God, through Jesus our Lord, came to be a servant for all. He transformed in a far greater way than transforming a race car to serve the greater good. Jesus transformed the mission of the world to be about serving those around us. Friends, it's central to our faith. It's the beginning and ending of the nature of our Lord. Just yesterday, I was visiting with my nephew, Connor, and we were talking with a friend of ours, Dr. Pat Tucker, who's a physician in Corinth. And the Tuckers are dear friends of ours, and their son, Eli, is at West Point, the military academy, and is just thriving wonderfully as an Army cadet. And as we were discussing yesterday, Pat shared with me that Eli was really building a great relationship with one of the chaplains there. And I said to him and Connor, as we were conversating, that I never really thought about chaplains going to West Point. I've got to be honest. I thought they would save that for their best and the brightest, not those preacher-type folks like me. But here's what Connor Hill said to me. He said, you know, as a former Army person himself, the chaplain's office was one of the first branches of the military that started. He said it was essential. It was paramount. The morale, the encouragement, the serving nature of the chaplain's office is central to the total operations of the military. Friends, if our military gets it right, then certainly that's a message to us as the church. What is first and foremost in our efforts to be Christ to the world, to make a difference in the world, is to be a servant to those around us. Let me chase a squirrel a minute. If we really want to embody as Christian people, what can we do to make a difference in our world? What if we serve a little more? Right? So often we can get wrapped up in our opinions, our agendas. If people would just practice their politics like me, if they would just interact socially like me, if everybody would just do what I want, but if we could take a step away from that and understand God's less interested in our opinions, what God really wants from us is our love. Our love in serving others. If we want to transform the world, friends, that's the hope that we as the church can offer to a people in need. So, who do we serve? If we're going to agree on that much this morning in our sermon, that we are called to serve, who do we serve? In our text today, Jesus gives us a great example. As he is greeted with his disciples, he gravitates into the posture of teaching by sitting. That was how it was practiced in the first century world. And he takes a child and he places it on its lap. And he says, "Anyone who serves one of these also serves me." You see, I've said this to you before, and many of us are aware in the historical context of the scriptures that children were thought of very insignificantly in the first century world. They were certainly vulnerable. They were in need. They were overlooked. But Jesus said, this is where our service begins. To those who need it most, right? It's who we serve. We reach out beyond ourselves to those who can't do anything for us in return. We can't benefit if we're truly motivated to serve those in need. They are the most vulnerable, the most hopeless, the most hungry to be nurtured and cared for. That was the message Jesus offered today, is who do we serve? Those who need service. But Jesus also pushes us a little further. Not only does Mark encourage us in the writing to wrestle with who we're called to serve, but Mark, if we listen closely, challenges us through the life of Jesus to consider how we serve. Now, I don't like this part at all. Not only are we called to serve those who can't serve us back, and serve those who are in the most need, but in the spirit of Jesus, what our Lord brought to this world was a willingness to serve freely. Here's what I mean. Our scripture says today that Jesus initiated the act of serving the child. They didn't just bring a child in there and say, "Hey, Jesus, would you hold this kid and let's take a picture of him? We got our iPhone here. Set him on your lap. Let's get a quick selfie and we'll be set." No, Jesus initiated the exchange and reached out in service to the child. Let me say it this way. I'm going to confess a little bit today. Y'all forgive me, pray for me, but every once in a while your pastor likes to get a little pinch between the cheek and gum. Especially in evenings when I'm driving, something like that. And every once in a while, Ryan, don't let a football game, I may get a little chew of tobacco. Forgive me, my Dr. Norris Howell would have told y'all that if you'd asked him anyway. Last night, I was watching the football game, and we were sitting by some folks. I hope this guy's not watching here today, virtually. And he did something very rude. He asked me, he said, do you mind if I get a little pinch of that? And some of y'all know this, some of you don't. I'm a bit of a germaphobe. I don't want people touching my stuff, much less sticking their grubby hands into something I'm going to be placing in my mouth. So I acted first like I didn't understand him. I said, what? And then he went ahead and said it again, Mary. So I begrudgingly gave it to him. And then from then on out, Doc, I never did let him see it again. I hid it the rest of the night, and I would go out of the room anytime I needed another pinch, Vince. I didn't give it freely or willingly. Sometimes that's the way I approach service. I don't really want to do it. I don't really want to give what I've got because what's it going to cost me? What's the risk that I'm involved in? Friends, I get it. That's our nature. As human people, as we heard in our call to worship today from Psalm 1. The psalmist began from the very beginning. Don't trust humans. Trust God to guide your life in service. Friends, here's how our Lord Jesus serves. Not only does he serve all. The child in us, Kenny, the weakest part of us, the most vulnerable part of us, Risa, the broken part of us, Randall, when we're emotionally, physically, spiritually challenged and under attack from the world around us, that's the part of us Jesus comes to serve first and foremost. How does he serve? Willingly, freely, openly, for all creation. Friends, that's the nature of your God. That's the call that we strive to embody as his people, when we serve in his image. This morning, my trusty lab mix, Luna, and I went for a walk on the golf course. I've told y'all we walk every once in a while. We saw the golf course cat. His name is Shiloh, because it's on Shiloh Ridge Golf Course. And Shiloh's kind of got a neat journey. He used to live on another portion of the golf course, and he's a kind of a wild cat. He doesn't let anybody touch him or get close to him. He just lives his own life, and there's one guy, Mike, that brings him food every morning. Those fancy feasts. Eats it out of a can. Gets him two or three cans, and he just sets it right out there by the tree where Shiloh hangs out. And that cat basically lives where I'm at, and we've got this big lab mix that weighs 60 pounds, and this devil dog of a Dachshund that weighs 30 pounds named Dash, and they are mean as they can be, and they are scared to death of that cat. He has them walking line. They won't get close to him. And he won't let me get close to him. He's scared of me. I can't get close to him. Tried to feed him, tried to pet him, tried to do all this. And I was walking with Luna this morning, and the man who feeds Shiloh every morning, he is out there, and he's putting food out, getting his water. Shiloh's standing right beside him while he's doing this. And then, right before he departed, Tommy, he reached down, petted old Shiloh about three times on the head and all the way down his back, got in his golf cart and drove away. Now, what's the difference? We know the difference. Shiloh has come to trust the one who gives him life-sustaining love. Friends, if Shiloh the cat can figure it out, I think there's hope for me. That when I receive love from the giver of life who yearned to serve us in all creation so much that he gave his very life that we may live, I have been transformed forever to to, like Shiloh, trust him as the hope for my life, for my joy, and the world around me. So may we go forth as good golf cart and course cats and trust the one who served us as we seek to serve in his image for God's glory. In Christ we seek to do this. Amen. I invite you to pray with me, to pray for me, as I pray for you and pray with you and for you, as we seek to be hope in this world around us. We lift up all those that we've shared in prayer concerns with this morning. We pray for friends and family, those far away and those near. Let us together join our hearts as one. Oh God, we bow in your presence, grateful, cherishing this gift of prayer. If serving is the beginning of our Christian call, then prayer is the greatest gift we have to even embody that nature of serving. So we serve each other by lifting up one another in your name. We pray for those we're closest to, our friends and family, those we've been called to minister to first and foremost, and those we're called to serve beyond our household, the vulnerable among us, those who can't pay us back. Examples of Jesus giving today of the child among us. But we also pray for those that we're not so close to, and no one else is serving. From those we disagree with and maybe even our enemies with. Will you bring healing and wholeness to both of our lives and the lives that we share and maybe even are estranged from? We pray for your church. God, we give you thanks for this congregation. What a gift it is to each of us individually. Continue to enhance our ministry as we live out your light and love in this community for your glory. We pray for every congregation, wherever your gospel is practiced and proclaimed, oh God, will you inspire, empower your people in ministry. We pray for our nation. We ask your guidance upon those who lead us in government, our president, our senate, our Congress, the Supreme Court. We do pray for our military. We give thanks for those who place themselves in harm's way, for the chaplains who serve the military, who live out love daily and help morale and help people grow spiritually. We pray, oh God, for every person on our prayer list. We mentioned some today verbally and some we didn't. But every person's name who's written upon our heart, God, we ask for prayers beyond what we want, that you would give your people what they need. But as your people, we do ask for miracles of grace, for healing and wholeness, whether the needs be physical, spiritual, mental, emotional, relational. You, O God, are the great physician. Will you bring restoration? We pray, O God, for ourselves. I celebrate the prayers for me right now, and as I pray for each person individually, we ask you to pour forth your Holy Spirit in powerful and life-giving ways, sustaining us, O God, with your comfort, guiding us with your truth, O Holy Spirit, correcting us in our mistakes. And now, God, with the body of believers, confident in you as our Savior, we join our voices as one and say in prayer the words you taught us. Praying, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, as we go forth, to serve the world around us. Remember who you are and whose you are. Will you join with me now as we affirm our faith in our God? I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Friends, may we go forth with God's blessing for us as his people. May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance, his gaze upon you, and give you peace now and forever.
That's the song we love.